Welcome back to the Coaches Rising podcast. Today is another installation in our AI and coaching series. And Kareem Harani from Coaches Rising is going to be in dialogue with Christina Moll about how AI can help coaches, how we can integrate AI into our coaching practice, how it points towards the human advantage and the need for us to refine our professional identity. Christina Moll is a subject matter expert with ICF Global, and she is the president-elect of ICF Germany. She's also the driving force behind Solutions Academy Romania, which is a coaching school that holds the prestigious accreditations of both ICF and EMCC. And she is the co-author of Solution-Focused Team Coaching. So let's dive right in. Here's the podcast with Kareem Harani and Christina Moll. Before we get into today's podcast, I've got an invitation for you. We're about to kick off the sixth edition of our most popular program, The Neuroscience of Change. This training is based on what revolutionary research in neuroscience has revealed about transformational coaching, essentially showing us what works, what doesn't, and why. In the program, you'll learn what happens in the brain and body when different coaching techniques are used, how to guide your clients into positive learning states that allow genuine change to occur, and why some tried and true coaching methods actually inhibit change and what we can do instead. We created this course because I learned things from the lead teacher, Amanda Blake, that truly revolutionized the way I coach. And every year, she and all the teachers bring in new, cutting-edge science that continues to illuminate the process of transformation. Amanda will be joined by the rest of our world-class faculty of coaches and neuroscientists for this program, including Dan Siegel, Alan Fogel, Claire Dale, David Trelevin, and Richard Boyatzis. It's going to be an amazing, transformative journey. So I hope you'll come and join us. You can head to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. The first class is February 25th, 2025 with Amanda Blake. And if you sign up by February the 7th, you can get the early bird discount. So just go to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. So great to be in this podcast again. We're doing another one on AI and coaching, and I'll actually just say hello to Kareem first. He's joined me again. We're doing these podcasts together. How are you doing, Kareem?
Yeah, I'm well. Looking forward to this one for sure.
Excellent. And Christina, you're joining us too, and I will have introduced you in the introduction, so I won't do that now, but welcome. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. I'm truly excited about where the conversation will end, or better to say, what kind of meaning are we going to be creating through this conversation? So I'm really excited of what we're going to be approaching.
Yeah, me too. I know that your perspective today will be informed from a wide variety of perspectives. You're immersed in the coaching field in a lot of ways, but in a sense, you're wearing your ICF hat today. And I'm just curious if you could actually just give us a sense of, you know, what are you up to in the coaching world, in particular with the ICF? Yeah, in a brief way, because we'll get right into the AI topic, but just to give people a sense of who you are.
Thank you for mentioning that in a brief way. I'll try to do my very best. I will bring three things, Manu, to your point, and that is right now, one of the important things that is happening is we started an initiative inside ICF, and that is called Future of Coaching Lab. It has been something that emerged at the ICF EMEA Global Leaders Forum with a desire and a need from most of the chapter leaders present there, saying we have the impression that our communities, local communities in each country, is wondering what's happening with coaching, where do we go, how are we going to be evolving or changing, adjusting, adapting, who knows what's the right verb. And so one thing that we said is just let's try play with this thing. So this initiative of coaching, Future of Coaching Lab, what we're looking for is creating a space to actually explore how would the future look like, even if we start from as is to be, or if we look and we want to play also with some tools that do foresight, and then from there go backwards and figure out what do we need to be aware of. There's going to be a lot of space to actually use it as a lab, so do experiments. So that's one thing that's now right now being emergent in the ICF space, especially in Europe. The other thing that I find it extremely relevant, and I have to admit that I was very happy that happened, was that in the last couple of weeks, finally the frameworks are out there. You might have seen the ICF artificial intelligence framework and standards. There's one on coaching platforms. I mean, those are important. And from my perspective as a professional, I know that it took a lot of time, and I'm grateful for the work that was done by the work groups behind them. But I'm also happy that we are there to look at them and think about how can we enhance them, because technology is on the landscape and everything is developing very fast. Hence, there might be need changes in those frameworks also. So that's the second thing. And the third part that I appreciated from what's been happening in the last months was this move from, you do remember the New York University Coaching and Technology Summit that usually happens every year only in New York. Now we've been able to shift that also to Europe. So ICF Germany organized in June Workforce Summit with New York University in Berlin. And that brings again this conversation between coaches, but not just in the coaching space or bubble, you know, among ourselves, but really moving it, how do we interact with technology providers? How do we interact with HR? What's relevant for HR personnel in the space of technology and coaching? How do we put all of those things together? So this has been at least three initiatives or three changes that are going on inside ICF in the last month that gets me thinking, oh, we're doing a lot of steps towards supporting coaches, being more and more exposed. And at the same time, I think it's the word upskilling I like. It's just how do you enhance what you have already and that open up that curiosity towards technology.
What's your mood right now? You're plugged into all these different projects and other ones too. You're meeting a lot of coaches, you're meeting thought leaders in the field of coaching. I know this is a kind of slightly challenging or difficult to answer question, but what's your sense of where we're at and the possibilities?
Keep in mind, I'm mostly one of those person that says, ooh, change, great, let's do that. So I'm truly excited about the things that are happening. But I think that comes exactly from this, how I perceive that any change can bring us something good, that we just need to look at it and figure it out. How can that support our future development? And the other element in there that makes me optimistic is I see all of the potential. So I look at all of these changes, and sitting also at the Coaching and Technology Summit in June this year compared to last year, they had a big room where they had different technologies on demo and exhibition. And you see how from last year when they were a handful, now it doubled, tripled. And I thought, wow, amazing for me as a coach. There's so many things in there that I can bring as value, as additional value to my clients. Now, granted, you need to, if you go back now to link it to Nikki Strebranche, that's that, cannot say old, but in terms of how fast these things are changing, it is in a way an old study that says, yes, all of the technologies are good, are useful for the clients, for the coaching client, as long as the coach is willing to say, yes, dear client, use it. So the same thing, looking in there, thinking amazing stuff that clients can use. Now I need to make sure me as a coach, I'm fine with them. I mean, I give them a chance to understand how they function, what they do, and where would I be able to use them. This has been also the message that we tried to look at as a panel when in the conference in Berlin, because we were talking about having on stage Ovida, having on stage interhumans, so different technologies. And we were looking at, okay, but does that mean that all coaches and every coach should now learn to use everything? No, it just means figure out what do you use for your coaching, like what kind of spaces you move, what are the technologies that would be providing you an additional benefit, and you would be comfortable with them. Don't have to use everything or try and go and adjust yourself as a coach to everything that's out there. But just be curious of, you know, coaching mindset. Be curious about what would be those small additions, incremental changes that would give even more benefits to your coaching clients, being them team coaching, being the others. of actually also supervision. So that's for me what the exciting part is you have so many options in there to provide even more support and benefits and to a wider range of clients. So I think that was one of the elements that you see now, that this opening towards, yes, there's a chatbot. How can we implement those chatbots in an area where it's difficult to find a coach or to find a qualified coach? Or look at the initiative in the US with providing coaching support to students. Probably you say it's not something very new, but when you have a lack of counselors and there's a student that in the middle of the night needs to have a question and reflect upon something, they won't be able to talk to a counselor, but they can engage with the technology that would support them at least to clarify themselves. So those are the opportunities that I see amazing now. I'm excited about them.
Just to ask a follow-up then, you know, to someone listening, what kinds of applications do you see in a way, like what, how could AI support coaches? What different ways can it support? And, you know, what are you seeing out there that's really cool? It's worth naming.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So let's try to structure it a bit. Because I think it's useful to look in terms of applications or use cases instead of just saying generally there's ChatGPT. Because I think it's way beyond that. We should not just limit to there's a ChatGPT or there's a chatbot. What I see as applications that are extremely useful is starting with us as the coach. Is first of all, you know, we talk about reflective practice. How many of us as coaches actually engage with that? But if I have a small reflection bot that pings every session that I have with the client, and it gives me a chance with three questions to reflect on what I've done as a coach after that, will help me very fast put together a way of improving my skills. Now, that's a simple solution, having a small reflection bot. You can construct it yourself. You can go find it out there. One step further would be take platforms like Ovida, where you record your session within the platform and you get that feedback of how much were you actually talking with the coach? How much were you paying attention? What kind of things were you picking up from a client? So it kind of like acts like a mentor coach in the ICF sense of it. So telling you, including how were you positioned against ICF core competencies? Me as a coach, if I want to grow from ACC to PCC or from PCC to MCC, that's incredible feedback because I need to figure out where am I standing in my coaching. Plus, mentor coaching, it comes with a cost. So if I can have that at a lower cost on a constant basis, helps me maintain quality or even increase it. So again, for me as a coach, there's opportunities out there how I can be better, first of all. Now, if you look the other way around, how can I use artificial intelligence to engage with clients? So from the applications that are there, take Coach M, take Coach Vici, all of these ones that create between sessions movement. So client has a coach facing them live session, but in between, there's also opportunity to go and work a bit, make a smaller step, or at least do a bit of a conversation around the to-dos that they've picked up or the ideas that they've picked up from the coaching session and go enhance that until they have a chance to talk to a coach again. So again, in-between session provides for the client very useful space to keep on working on their topics. And it doesn't have to be a general type of questions because you can plan, you can program, you can prompt that chatbot to use different methodologies, to change methodologies between sessions, and creates a wellness or a wealth of questions, a way of supporting the client between sessions. Another application that I found it very interesting was they were present also in at the summit, basically bringing the entire team coaching, now moving not only to one-to-one coaching, but bringing the entire team in a virtual space. And you can create a landscape however you want. It can be an office, you can be on the field somewhere, you can be in the mountains, wherever you want. And everyone joins in as an avatar. And then you have that team coaching in that virtual space. In a form or another, you can say, I could do that on a mirror or on a mural board. And then people move with the mouse, their stuff, they're sticking out. Yes, And at the same time, when you can create an avatar that gives a lot more personal feeling of each of your team members, I would do agree that the conversations are going to be stronger, so, or deeper or more meaningful. So that's another way of not only sticking to the individual coaching, but also moving in the team coaching space. And I think you can also do one step further and look at something that I don't see it right now as strongly developed, but I know that it's going to come there, is how do you do also provide support when it comes to supervision with a chatbot? So how do I support either a leader, or how do I support myself as a coach to get supervision, even if I might not have time for it during the day because I'm coaching, or maybe the cost that is prohibitive. Different regions of the world might be difficult. So if I can engage and reflect, not only reflective practice, but really engage on looking at a case or me as a development of a coach within a supervision space and do that with a chatbot, provides for me, first of all, as a coach, an impact, but second of all, of course, for my clients. So those are a couple of use cases when you move from different perspectives.
I really love the range, Christina, that you've categorized that into. It brings me to two avenues, but I'll do one at a time. The one I'm going to park is listening to you and thinking, oh my God, we're going to have coaches asking, what does this mean for me as a coach in terms of, you know, my work? We'll come to that. I know you're doing a lot of work with the ICF and the MCC around ethics. So, you know, when coaches start to use or embrace those technologies in their practice, what should they be thinking about, and what are you guys doing in those conversations that's helpful for them to know about in supporting the, you know, the ethics and the best ways of using this technology?
Well, I would say if you are a coach and you're now trying to assess what does that mean for me, where am I standing? I think you can always use the space of each of the ICF chapters and go there and say, knock, knock, hi, I'm a member of yours, help me a bit here. Because I know each chapter will just have somebody in the board that has a part of this artificial neuroness, curiosity about technology. I think we're now kind of like mostly in all of the chapters being present and being curious. Second thing is just go on Coach IT online, pick it, use it as a platform. It has been a project that was supported by the European Union. It's completely free. There's so many resources in there that allows you, first of all, to interact, to grow, and to upskill yourself. And it has also a full module on ethics, to your point. What does that, how do I address that ethical part? So in there, you have a lot of information around ethical behavior, data privacy, which is a strong topic for all of us. How do we keep up to, we need to put coach logs together, no? How do we put in there client data or not? So there's free resources, absolutely. The other thing that I would, if you want to take one step further, is I would be mindful of when are there any conversations about the European Artificial Intelligence Act. Because in there, there's a component also, again, of ethical behavior, but also around awareness around my responsibilities as a coach. Mm-hmm. So the act itself asks in principle for the ones that use any kind of artificial intelligence in their work to either report, to be mindful of the changes and the biases and all of those things. That also implies that me, if I'm a coach and I have an artificial intelligence chatbot somewhere set up for my practice, well, I'm also needing to do all of the reporting. And now it comes down to ethically now that a level of data privacy, what kind of data am I collecting? So if you are insecure, go ask in a chapter, figure out where are the areas where you can get engaged, and there are free materials for sure from ICF. If I now switch and look what else is happening, so you have initiatives like in the EMCC that they look at the upskilling, and there's tech talks, so like really talks focused on technology. We've done the one on the EU Act. There's been talks around what does large language models mean and things like that. Another area that I find it extremely important is linked to this part of ethics. I don't know if you noticed, but starting with last year, there's a full ethics conference. There's an association of coaches focusing only on optical behavior. So I find it amazing. I was a big supporter of that. I thought, wow, yes, now we have a space where we can actually debate those dilemmas. So they have a lot of resources and they create that space of people coming in and saying, no idea. And also, if you are a member of ICF, do something that is very simple. There's always every month a water cooler conversation free from the ICF. So it's just a space where you go and say, ethics, okay, this is the topic that I have today. Help me here, get from the room input. So those water cooler conversations are open to all of the ICF members. And if you're not a member, you just pay the small fee, I would say. And you can have a space where you can talk about those things. Because I have to admit, when it comes to artificial intelligence and ethical behavior or questions, yes, I'm a supporter of saying go have a supervisor, but in some cases, I will doubt that you will be able to find very fast a supervisor that's available and one that would be able to really support you with that. So when it comes to ethics, there you have a couple of options how you can address that.
Brilliant. You know, and which nicely leads to the second question I had. That's really helpful, just this range of places to look. I know the competencies for AI, AI coaching is really useful to look at. It's a lot to read, but important. You know, when I hear you talking about something like supervision and coaching and the cost benefit of it for coaches when they're coming to supervision, you know, I've seen Avita's work as well, and it's amazing. You know, I sit here as a coach and go, I can see organizations saying, at scale, I can't afford coaching. Okay, we can use AI for first level leaders, but that, you know, if that's working good enough, why don't I just extend it across and only bring in coach in the rare occasions I need? So, you know, behind that is the question, you know, what if a coach is saying, is it worth becoming a coach now, or is the future of my work at jeopardy, you know, and for supervisors? And linked to that, Christina, is what should coaches be focusing on to remain relevant?
Well, you're open now as a coach. I'll start picking up and say, well, you're opening up there actually three questions. Where should I start? Let's start from you can look at coaching from this perspective of, yes, this is what we have right now. So what do we do with it? Do we need to keep on trying to fix it? Do we need to throw it all together and start from scratch? I know that you had also interesting conversation with Dr. David Drake. I've found it also interesting because I've met him also, and I know the things that he put together on maturity. And there's something that I got reminded by looking at, there's a sociologist, Luhmann, German. Sorry, I haven't read stuff in German because I would find it far too complicated for me, but I read about English. And he brings this concept. So how do you look at the world? He looks at first order cybernetics as what is, and then for a second order of the observers observing the space, the society. So if you take it from that perspective, you would say, yes, what is coaching? That's the first level. But if you go beyond that and say, what are others observers observing? So I'd rather go there and say, is coaching relevant from what others observers are observing about coaching? Because I think in that way, you're actually tapping into both. You're tapping into what's the benefit for an organization, because they are the second level, they're observing what the change has been observed. And at the same time, I'm looking at how is that relevant for me as a coach, because I'm being able to observe from the other perspectives what has been the impact of my work. So if I look from that angle, and I'm opening a bracket here saying, I'm very sorry for me really chopping off the minimum extent. Just bring it into this point. So if I look from that perspective, I would say, well, let's ask HR. And I think that's the beautiful thing that's happening right now in a lot of coaching spaces, is we're moving and going to talk to our beneficiaries and asking them, so is it still relevant to create coaches on the market? And what I see from the wider work that I do is there's a move towards coaching skills. It's not about coaching. It's not about a coach. It's about the coaching skills. And those coaching skills are like any skills. You can use them in different contexts. You can use it as a manager, as a leader, as somebody that's sitting on a production line anywhere. So from that perspective, I would say what I'm observing and what others are observing is coaching skills are still relevant. So the more we can bring them there, impact we have. Now, if I go further and I look at as a coach, does that make sense to upskill myself? Well, I think there's been pretty sufficient studies in the last month saying what's relevant is to look at, to your point with maturity, how do I grow? But how do I grow knowing that I can create a chatbot that has questions addressing the what of ICF, so the topic of the client. How am I supporting now as a coach, the client, to have that space of reflection? And those are the skills that I see that are being observed everywhere as the valuable ones. So from the perspective of the coach, what it makes sense is to look into where are you practicing? What's your philosophy? So there's one thing that I was impressed with was the opening of the Oxford Brookes University conference on the three P's, saying we're talking about supervision, not knowing what is coaching. So if we don't know coaching, we can't talk about coaching supervision. And hence, how do we look at these three P's of what is your purpose as a coach? What is your practice? So how is that practice linked to your purpose? And the third one being, what's your philosophy? So instead of saying, I take everything and I bring everything in my practice, it's no. But what are those things that you believe in? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the moment when, again, by observer from the outside, what you're noticing is that those coaches that are very clear on their philosophies, those are the ones that are extremely also good in the work that they do, because they have a clarity into that's what I'm providing you as a benefit, my dear client, because I also know what's the philosophy that sits at my foundation. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be also there a bit of more conversations in our coaching world towards what can look at it as theory of change, look at it as different models, but what is it there that we have each of us as a coach, as a philosophy? So from that perspective, I see that coach education needing to also change and make sure that it covers so that coaching can grow. So summarizing from that lens of observers, yes, there's relevant the coaching skills from HR perspective. And I think for a coach, it's relevant to observe the things that we know that we are providing increased benefits. And that starts also with the philosophies that sit at the foundation. That yeah. Getting close to where you were going?
It is. I'm going to kind of ask a follow-up on that as well. So I really recognize this kind of maturing, use the word reflection, space, and then the three P's really resonate to find who you are as a coach. And then the role you can now evolve to play with HR that maybe AI can't. But as I was listening to you, I can see, so you just stated in the challenging space, Christina, is I can see AI having a purpose, like I'm going to help you to go from A to B, and my methodology is, I don't know, something like the GROW model. And from an HR perspective, you're kind of going, oh, I get my leaders to get AI to get them where I want them to go at scale, at low cost. And then also, you know, offer these insights from different perspectives because they can gather the data and the insight. So then I still sit here going, if I get that at a tenth of the price, or a hundredth of the price, actually, at the moment, I miss out on a little bit of that human piece. Why would I choose to pay 100 times more when I can get most of it? And I suppose behind that question is just, you know, getting to the edge of, I think what you're talking about is what is it that makes us powerful as a coach, you know? And I think that's what you're exploring with us.
Hmm. Mm. First of all, I would say you would be getting that at 1% of the cost, at least if you look into the NHS study that Sammy Saxon put together, saying cost is 1%, benefits were there, just keep in mind a bit of he has his doubts about his results also because there were not that many clients that engaged with the chatbot, even if they had unlimited access. But for me, that tells me also is that as much as I can go with a chatbot. And at some point, I'll want to have a personal conversation. I want to have a sort of interaction. And that is substantiated not only about looking at the result of this research, but that's for me also substantiated by something that I've noticed last year in a conference when there was a panel on HR. There were only HR people on stage, and they were talking about different platforms that HR brought in their organization, implementing a coaching program with chatbots, with anything that technology can bring to their leaders. And at some point, the moderator asked, so what else would you need to make sure that any of these providers that you bring inside, you're fine with the fact that there's also chatbots, meaning there's technology being coaching your leaders. HR on the stage said, well, what I want is to know that at any moment they can push a button and they will have a human coach next to them.
Yeah.
So that tells you, yes, we're still relevant, because I think the human connection is obviously different from a technology. We can go into the debate around, but future generations, we don't know them yet. I cannot look in any kind of crystal ball and say they're going to be wanting that or not. Right now, what we have as leaders, and not only, but everyone around us, is I think that we can go as much as possible with a chatbot, but at some point we want to have also that somebody sitting in front of me, let's see what that happens, what kind of chemistry, what kind of things happen when I talk also with the human. So to your point now, moving towards, will we still be relevant as coaches? Oh, I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that also because the things that we bring in a coaching conversation, as much as we would try to transfer and put in a prompt, they are a level of, I would say, the randomness that we bring in as human beings that we won't be able to fully transmit in a prompt. Now, think of why did I get to this randomness? Is I find it, for me, it was really interesting. Again, in mind, I'm coming out of audit. So I've used tools like randomizer.org. And at randomizer behind it, what sits is they try to figure out how do they get random numbers. And they got them from a radio that was just doing those noises because they're random. You can't put any pattern to them. Same thing here. As a human being, you can try to put some patterns, but at some point, we still break those patterns because we're humans. We'll come up with a new thing that we've heard, which as much as you try to transfer in a prompt, that prompt can only go to the things that you know already that you've done. The things that you don't know that you will do, you can't transfer them. Hence, I think that part of randomizer that we have as humans in a coaching interaction still going to be the part that's going to make us be extremely relevant, useful, and be there for another human being. There is a bit of a, if you look in the ICF framework for artificial intelligence framework and standards, there's an attempt in there to say, how do we transfer? The right word would be, how do we translate those core competencies that we have for coaching towards an artificial intelligence? And you will see that they also struggle to make a one-to-one transfer. So they talk about empathy, they talk about active listening, they talk about maintaining presence. But when they try to put it into a standard, like what is the minimum requirement, when you write like, here, coaches know how to put silence. How do I tell something that needs to put silence in a coach? Conversation done by a chatbot or by any kind of artificial intelligence or large language model, they will leave a bit of a break, but at some point you're going to go like, is this thing broken? Do I need to refresh? Is this something not working anymore? So there are things there that, first of all, we need to adjust to them as human beings, but that still tells me there's a struggle to move from all of the competencies that we have as humans and bring them all in a prompt that would simulate us 100%.
I've loved watching you kind of just articulate you know, what is it that humans do? And you know, from AI, you know, and I know it's a challenging question, so thank you for giving it a go and grappling with it. Because what I'm hearing you do is name, there's something random between human and coachee that can't be copied. But you've also mentioned the connection, something about the relationship, and this kind of mystery, and that's my word, which is where I get curious. And I really resonate with you around HR, because my experience of talking to HR is, I know that at some level, the human relationship really matters. And I get a lot of reaction from HR the moment we say scale with technology around learning. It's like, you know, we want human beings, and whether that's facilitators that are human or coaches that are human. So I really resonate, but there's something emerging, and I'm curious if you know any research happening around that difference, because I know we're doing a lot of research around the ethics and the frameworks, but around that core difference between what makes us human, because I'm sure that will touch into your point about where coaches can then continue to evolve. But is there anything happening at the ICF or AMCC around getting the impact and the difference between the two? I know you mentioned Sam Isaacson research. I've seen Nikita Balanche's one that compares, you know, goal setting between AI and human, and they're fairly good in terms of models. But any others around the human relationship and the impact that you're seeing, or your own views on that?
You're raising one more ball in there, and that's going to make it interesting. First of all, I have to say, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not the one that says, no, for God's sake, don't use any chat, because there's no technology where. No, I do believe that it has a benefit as long as we know why we're using it and what's the purpose and how to best implement it to provide positive impact. And to this opening of what else is what's going on, there are right now a couple of studies that are under different stages. I'm now wondering how much would Rebecca be willing to share from what she's doing right now, but Rebecca Rutman is definitely working and being involved in at least two studies that I know that would be very relevant for the future, because it's exactly this difference between what's happening in a digital coaching environment compared to a human coaching. What are the things that we're seeing in one or another? How do I use different models implemented via prompt compared to coaches? But again, you have to make sure that you compare apples with apples and not get a salad in there. So I think it's from the research point of view, you also have to have that foundation very strong. So I would be curious in the next couple of months when these things, actually the data, when is there, how do we interpret it and what do we learn from it? Now, there's one more thing in that relation of, yes, technology is evolving, and at the same time, there's, I don't know, I think that there's another level in there of looking not only with what we have today, but what will we have in a couple of years. So we don't talk that much. I think the conversations are a lot of times stuck into chatbots, but we don't look into how would we use virtual reality? How would we use augmented reality? How are we going to put any other of these technologies into space, into use, and to what? What's the use case? And at the same time, I look at, this layer of coaches that are good with technology and they're trying to embed it and, you know, look at it like, it would be something that I can offer to my client. I have the feeling that this layer is very thin, that compared to the vast population of coaches, those are exciting conversations for a lot of us. Like, I think for the three of us, definitely those are exciting conversations. But for a big chunk of the coaches, the question still remains around, so how do I set up, first of all, a business? What is it that I should know? How do I set up, forget about artificial intelligence, but how do I find somewhere where I can have a software that does my invoicing? Or there's still technology, but we need to look at different degrees and those shades and layers of coaches being fine and being gradually being exposed to different technologies. I think that's also an element that we have to plan with. And having that chance of seeing the wider spectrum of applications allows you also to be mindful of, where am I sitting as a coach? What is my next step? How is that fitting with the technology that I might need or not need? So I think we also have to be mindful of, we push the conversation towards what's emergent and what's happening and what's exciting. And at the same time, how do we support and how do we come together as a coaching community to support each other? And I think that's the difficult question for me. You know, how do we move in not being a lonely profession where each of us is a standalone coach, but we actually take that word community for what it stands, community. So we come together and learn from each other. And if somebody has a question and struggling with something, yes, yeah, I can help you. I think I took a different avenue, but...
And actually makes me want to ask, I want to bring in something around knowledge versus wisdom afterwards, because I think that might speak to the conversation we were just in about humans, what makes humans human versus a, you know, an AI coach and that randomness. But just to build on what you're saying there, Christina, how do you think coaches should adapt in these times, you know, like what's the invitation, I guess that's being made. I hear you say one clearly there, which is actually coming together in community to learn from one another. That's something I'm hearing a lot more than I did 5 years ago. I think in general in the human population, community is something that we're recognizing the importance of again in a way that we perhaps let go of. So yeah, what other ways do you think what's the invitation for coaches in these times?
I would structure it and say if I put an invitation out there and if I would need to just pick one message, I think what I would love to see more of and us taking it as a definitely an invitation towards approaching these changes with what we're supposed to be there doing in any coaching session, and that is that curiosity, right? We talk about the coaching mindset and said what's at the foundation is the curiosity towards the individual that sits in front of us. So how can we be curious about who we are as coaches? How can we be curious about the profession that's emerging? How can we be curious about the changes that are happening? And I would love to see more of those spaces compared to spaces where we talk about changes based on fear. I do know that it's easy to make a point by saying we're gonna be all extinct, that's it, coaches do something. But I don't know, I have the impression that if you say, look, and what if we don't get extinct? Okay, so what's the opportunity in that?
Mm-hmm.
So my invitation would be exactly to, you know, we tell our clients that we're going to be curious, but how about we're being curious about our own profession and not just telling somebody else, but actually doing that? And the other invitation that I would see is, I have the impression that in the last years we've tried a lot to look towards what the coaching associations need to do. Coaching association needs to. And I'm wondering a lot of times if it's not also on us, each of us single coaches, being aware of if we want to be seen as a strong profession, as a quality profession, as an impactful profession, we all need to have been in that conversation. And that also implies, how do we make sure that we talk between ourselves, first of all, and have those strong professional dialogues? How do we look at spaces where we don't come in with the fear of, but if I put my mind in there and I talk about my philosophy, somebody's going to debunk it, but actually have an open conversation of trying to understand different views and how can maybe those views have a wider impact in everything that's emerging after a conversation. So I would love to see more of those professional dialogues, because those that spaces of professional dialogue, they're relevant also around technology at the end of the day. So relevant about everything that we're growing as a profession. And that also tells me it's not all on the coaching associations. There's a lot of talks also, how should the coaching associations evolve? Yes, but we all need to evolve, not only the coaching associations, also each coach that sits around those associations inside or outside, we all need to evolve. And so there's obviously any association is a living being, so it's driven by people. How can we also bring that curiosity as a coach, but also do stuff, not only be curious in a coaching association. So help with that change or just thinking about it. The other invitation that comes to my mind is around technology. Is there a space where we can engage or create a safe space for play, like a playground? Now look at Agile community. I've always looked with the respect towards them because they have these playgrounds. They have spaces where they come together as practitioners, try new stuff, or look at a conference where they go and they do all of the facilitation tools in an open space. And so that was definitely one thing that we've changed in ICF Germany, the fact that our conference for the community, it's a coaching lab. It's based on open space. So anyone that comes in the morning and says, I want to talk about this, has a slot on the board, goes, talks about that. So it's, we're changing also that philosophy of a conference needs to be a space where you sit, take a seat and you just listen. But how do we engage with an interaction? How do we create a space of playing around and playfulness? And also having demos of different technologies that are based on hands-on. I see, now I understand how it works. So there was somebody, I have to remember who was saying this. If you don't know what a chatbot is doing or you feel afraid that that's going to be replacing you, go try a couple of them and you'll realize, okay, now I got it. They're going to go to a certain level. And after that, I know what kind of question I would address. The chatbot has dried out their level of questions. So that's the same message of go be exposed to that thing. And then you will figure out what does it actually mean? Because if we just talk about concepts without ever trying them, I would find it difficult to say that we really have a documented opinion. So that curiosity flies also into all of us doing something and getting engaged. And also this part of trying out things in a way that maybe it's as a community, maybe it's as individual, depending on your preference for engaging with it.
Because this could tee up your wisdom question, so I'll hand it over to you. But just an observation, Christina, all the things you've said about what we can bring to the party of this technology, they sound like all the qualities that make us human, you know, so curiosity, playfulness, you know, we're living beings. How do we do it through dialogue, collaboration, open spaces where we can listen, experience, and then we can learn and bring wisdom and choice. You know, so it's that, and I don't see intrinsically yet, you know, this capacity to do those things or be those things in AI other than what you program it behaviorally to do. So you're almost inviting us to our full humanness in this world that's emerging in front of us. And then that creates the wisdom to then make the choices around who we are and how technology complements that. So yeah, Joel, I know you had a question.
I think because in a sense, one of the things we're talking about is how are we being invited to evolve and mature? You know, I'm thinking about a conversation with David Drake as well. That there's not enough coaches coming together and learning from each other in a particular kind of way. And I think this is for me one of the beautiful opportunities with what's unfolding in the world is at large, and also with AI and coaching, is this sense of like, what is it to be human? And what is the purpose of coaching, for example? You know, like, is it about being successful, more successful? What are some of these fundamental paradigms upon which it's based? Is it about being more successful, or is it about becoming wiser, for example? And, one of the distinctions I really like, which I've heard John Vivekey speak about and Steve March is speaking about, which is like this, you know, this sense that there's a lot of places where we can go to gain knowledge, you know, like online, maybe even a lot of coaching is actually about becoming more knowledgeable. It's working in the domain of like rational insight in a sense, although, you know, we could say that's maybe moving more towards wisdom. But for me, this question of wisdom is really interesting because it invites us into this inquiry around like, well, what like what's the full spectrum of being human? And I think we're talking about that. So it's not just about intellectual understanding, but it's about our embodiment. It's about our intuition. It's about our presence. It's about our relationality. And so there's all these other domains of experience that begin to come online. And I don't see AI doing those things right now, maybe in the future. But it's those kind of qualities that allow us to really engage in this wholehearted, emergent, relational collaboration with life itself and to feel alive. And that's might be the gift with AI in general, is it starts to accentuate more and more that that's the space if we're to thrive and collaborate, you know, and navigate through these challenges. That's the space we'll need to access more and more in our coaching and in general. So yeah, for me, that this is an important topic in terms of coaching maturity.
Mm-hmm. Let me start like this. And I will not pick one of the elements that you said, but I'll just go slightly in the sense of, so I had a curiosity at the beginning of this year, probably noticing something here about me. Whenever I come up with an idea, I'll go try it. If it's not done, I'm not going to wait for somebody to do it. I'll try to figure it out myself. So I had a curiosity around what's the face of a coach seen by a ChatGPT? Easiest thing. So I did not want to necessarily ChatGPT, but I took DALL-E 3, so the picture based. So I wanted the picture of a coach. So I went and I ran different scripts for about 100 pictures, just trying to generate what's the picture of a coach that they will put out. What would come out? And out of one of those pictures, even trying with different regions of the world, trying prompting with accredited, non-accredited, certified, whatever. Mostly those pictures that came up was a human being sitting on a stage in front of people talking. And I thought, is that really what a coach does? To your point, what does a coach do? Is that really what a coach does? Interesting. And the other thing that I picked up is a mostly not a pattern, but like a summary of all of those pictures was somebody again sitting in an office, very fancy dress and the fancy view. So I was like, again, is that really the image that I have of a coach? Maybe from all of the pictures that are on the web, everyone that's trying to position themselves as a leadership, as an executive coach, those are kind of like those pictures. But in terms of the work that we do, are we really the ones that are sitting in slick suits somewhere in a corner office? What are we actually down with people that, I don't know, coaching also blue collar and everyone sitting on the production line or anywhere in an organization at the end of the day? So what I got from that small exercise, okay, it took a couple of hours, but from that small exercise that I took was, first of all, well, the way we talk about ourselves as a coaching community, or at least we've did until now in the data that exists out there, doesn't really reflect what we do, to your point of what does the coach do? I don't know, but what the data that any system has doesn't really tell them that what we do is talk to people in the sense of supporting them to grow. It tells them that we talk to people, to the masses. And so the thing we need to also do work in any kind of looking at this paradigm or looking at this image of a coach. And of course, you can go even further than that to your ethical behavior question of looking at, there's a lot of voices out there that say there's a lot of charlatans also, or that you'll go on any kind of social media platform and you'll get a pop-up that says, become a coach, you're going to earn them. 6 digits and you're going to do nothing and things like that. So I think it's there. There's also a sense of we need to look at what does our profession mean? What do we actually do? And how do we put that also in the data that any large language model will be able to pick up, so it correctly reflects as a mirroring of what we actually do. So that's one thing that first came to my mind, Joel. I don't know. I was fascinated about the picture that we came up with. I was like, no, that's not what I do. That's not how I see myself, but it was a good exercise. So when we talk about this part of becoming wiser, I think the wiser for me has an implication also on moving in the space of postmodern, of looking at constructivist, looking at narrative, looking at elements that help us be aware that we're creating meaning by our interactions and not just by observing and putting a diagnostic. So let's like the meaning in a coaching session will be created from the two individuals sitting in that coaching session. Same thing if you also engage with the chatbot, there's still going to be meaning being created. Different levels and different ways of doing that. And so that meaning that's being created in a conversation, now I go one step further with your question of wiser, because what I have the feeling is we're moving also into a space where coaching becomes a part of kind of like an integrated service. So it's not only about just I'm going to give you this file with just coaching and you're going to survive. But I think we're emerging, we're moving also in a space where because the society is evolving, because we have so many complex problems and complicated and difficult and everything is changing into a space where you also need to be mindful of, are we just using the same hammer for everything? So hammering coaching everywhere. Can it be that in some cases, instead of hammering a coaching, we should hammer a mentoring session, or we should invite them to go and do a bit of supervision because that's a different space. So, and at the same time, I know that, you know, we're strongly looking at ICF and saying, well, the important thing is be careful that the client knows what you're doing. Be mindful of transparency with the client. And I think that also resides with our wiser and our maturity to be aware of that. In some cases, I might need to tell them, you know, look, I think here it's also a bit about training, knowledge, learning. I can ask you around questions, but that's as far as we can go. So you might need something else. And if that is training, wonderful. Let's get that. So I think for me, that wiser or that wise word also implies that I'm not afraid as a coach that I will be losing a client or that will be differently seen if I'm transparent and open and saying, I know that right now what's happening is we're moving in a different space. Is that your feeling also, my dear client? Should we do that? Should we change? Should we look from a different perspective? Because that creates a different meaning in the conversation. Mm-hmm. The start of what we are generating, then it is probably an enhanced view of topic that you're bringing at the beginning to the client.
Pull the two together, Christina. Your image was really interesting because it certainly, when I talk to family, that the image of someone who has some expertise that's professional and suited, or someone who gives knowledge in this kind of stage presence, that can be an assumption or a meaning about coaching. And I think the shift into what is it, you know, and you've mentioned, you know, meaning making, you know, differentiating the dimensions of what we can be in relationship. It almost feels like there's something coming up for me around that wise relationship that you create, you know, in being human, where you might say, hey, there's a bit of coaching support here, or there's some training here, and I'm going to move that role, or send you to someone who has that expertise. That might be a therapist, for example, or someone who's a executive that can mentor you through a business development time. But there's something that comes up for me around this wisdom, colleague, friend, partner, that, you know, is an evolution in the role of this thing we call the coach at the moment, you know, and then can use AI when that's appropriate, you know, to support the learning, and at other times another human being or one, a different hat. And then the ability to have the wisdom to share that, look, I know we've agreed this is what it was, and now it's shifting. So that self-awareness to recognize what are those different perspectives and ways in which we relate that are in service to what you've brought. That feels like a really big maturation of the world of coaching. So you've got me curious about that as well. There's no question there. It's just, yeah, an intriguing response, but certainly different from the I suppose the kind of market's view from the images that you share, because that can resonate as well, unless you know a little bit more about the field of coaching. What generates in me is we are more than just that set of beliefs or, you know, skills. You know, there's more to human. There's something in the relationship. There's a wisdom, and there's something more that we can be curious to find out, you know, and are invited to now find out, because AI can do some of the things that we can do, like share a model and, you know, guide people through some reflection, et cetera. Yeah. I wonder what comes up for you around that. So, you know, the,
I think there's what comes up now is like that level of wiser, it also imply of saying, so we have a coaching conversation and I realize that there's something else that you need. So how about, you know, you can always run it through a coach, through a ChatGPT on any kind of large language model and saying, we're missing this. What would you ask? And I love this idea of, I value this idea of we can grow and become, bring a lot of expertise to ourselves, but I think it's down to also, no matter what expert level you reach, is how do you still stay human and stay as a normal person? Like, I believe in that meaning making is also related to the way we engage and we interact, and that interactions comes down also to what's the stance that I'm taking. So I can get on a stance of seeing myself as a guru, like, you know, now going back to how you also look at it in a supervision, like you have a guru, supervisor, you have a gatekeeper, or you have a partner. I like this idea of whatever space I'm going, I feel like I need to be eye to eye with the person in front of me. Doesn't mean that even if I go somewhere and I might have a lot, way more knowledge or anything, for me, I know for sure that from all of those interactions, there's going to be a small 2 seconds of meaning making or information that I'll take with me. And I'm going to say, huh, it's worth it. But I'm keeping that part that we started with what's that curiosity that I bring as an invitation, and also for myself, not for the other one, but for myself to be present in there. And there's one other thing that came up when you were talking about that is, we're talking about metaphors, and I know that we all associate different metaphors to coaching. And I'm wondering sometimes if we don't get trapped in those metaphors or in those pictures at the end of the day. And those pictures is also something that would be useful if we have some space to really discuss them and say, do we all see ourselves like this? And I also understand that if we want to grow and be taken seriously, if we want to grow up as a profession and be seriously taken for serious, of course you need to create also this standard structure, all of those things around it. And so that's the moment when now I see a bit of a friction in the market, because ICF, at least we're moving strongly in that part of how do we get to be an ISO accredited organization based on qualities that are standards that are recognized? That also implied the credentialing exam has to be in a certain way, has to be structured in a certain form, because that's part of that quality standard. And at the same, that what generated was that wave in the coaching community saying, but it's a complicated exam. Yes, and there's some give and takes. So if we want to be there, then we also need to accept that there's some rules of the game, if you want to call it like that. There's going to be some changes in the way the entire process flows. Absolutely. And at the same time, I think there's also value in somebody that says, no, I'm fine with being without any label. I'm fine with just being independent. And I'm just going to stay with, this is the kind of thing that I'm offering. Now my curiosity would be around, how do we learn from each other? Because I think there's value in perspective of, these are the quality standards, because it gives something to a client at the end of the day, knowing that there is an embedded code of ethics, there is a strong perspective towards that requirement of reaccreditation, renewals, and all of that. And there's a level of continuous education in being a credentialed coach. So have a conversation of why do you choose to be and why do you choose not to be? Because that meaning making can happen also from those conversations. And we started from that part of wiser. I think that kind of conversation might make all of us wiser in taking at least decisions based on knowledge or wider wisdom. And in that wider wisdom, there's also something like it might be country related. It might be based on biases, assumptions, not knowing. And there's so many things in there. And so I would be curious to open up that one towards like, where do we talk about them?
Yeah, this is a can of worms, Christina, which is a beautiful can of worms. But you're naming, you know, the benefit of having an accrediting body is you maintain quality standards, you protect humanity, you know, you hold certain value, you know, together globally as a standard, you know, so there's some real benefits to that. And then there's some limitations to that, especially when we're expanding what this relationship is. But how can each position learn from each other's and evolve as well? You know, that's a creative conversation in itself. But it's a good tension. I know another 2 hours of conversation around where it could go. But I do notice that there are some coach trainings that I've been on where the trainer themselves have gone, yeah, I'm a coach. And I include within that all these other things that sometimes feel outside the ICF code, but they still feel in service to the human's development and care. Another word that comes up for me is love, you know, love of wisdom. But yeah, so there's some evolution around that. How do we expand, but also hold the power of the, you know, the surrounding structures and competency frameworks, whilst also knowing there's more, you know, that we can evolve in and learn from and create through the meaning-making dialogues that you can have. Wow.
And just, I know you want to bring in a question, Kareem.
Yeah, get it ready, Joe. Yeah.
There's just that maturity piece for me. Maybe there's like a third space which combines the standardization of something or, you know, quality control, let's say, that there are certain principles that are important. And then but on the other side, there's this, maybe so then there's this kind of other side, which is people are just not confined within the site with what a coach is and those principles. But there's, to me, the maybe where they meet is like there's this space where we aren't relating to those principles as fixed rules, but they're actually guiding the way we see, but only guiding that, and we're actually in the livingness of the spontaneous fresh interaction with this human being opposite us from moment to moment. And that in some sense that maturity is where we break down a lot of the assumptions and projections, and we kind of clean the screen of meaning making or level it up in a way that allows us to be inside the living wisdom of a human to human conversation. And to me, that's really beautiful. And yeah, you know, the other distinction was like, there's like Keegan's developmental stages. It's like socialized mind where, you know, you do your coach training and you're socialized in that coach training because it's not yours. You didn't think about, to go back to your point, Christina, you didn't think about your philosophy. So, but as you know, that's fine. But then at some point to mature, you need to think, what's my coaching philosophy? And then you become authored, self-authored. But actually to move to real maturity, there needs to be that self-transforming move where one begins to kind of deeply question the system that I'm embedded within so that I can now be free from beholden to one system. And I'm kind of post-systemic. I can pick up systems as needed and transform them on the go. And I think that's kind of like where the coaching industry's at in a way, is like there's so many influences and different systems. What's that meta move beyond it that allows us to kind of find a new orientation to what it means to be a coach? Anyway, not sure if that exactly made sense. And Kareem, I don't know, you want to, yeah, or Christina, like just, yeah, because we said a lot there, didn't we?
What sparked into me was, told you that I've been an auditor, so it was always the question is this organization rules-based or principle-based? thing as an auditor, you would look immediately as we need to stick to the rules or we need to stick to the principles. And from there, you look at the intent. And you look at how do we have that framework where it doesn't need to document all of the small, precise cases because it's rule-based, but it's principles. So I like this part of how can we look at coaching as something that is principle-based and not rule-based, not based. And I would be happy if we move away from, yes, we have, as ICF at least, we have the ACC bars, the PTC markers, MCC bars. That doesn't mean that you need, and this is the thing that I at least as a mentor coach, I bring it every time in the conversation. It's like, everyone's so focused, but I need to get all of those bars or I need to touch all of those markers. And you go like, no. And that's also the view of ICF. No, you don't need to be perfect. You need to be at least just above the bar. So we're losing that part of then you need to leave space for yourself for growth. And the same thing, PCC doesn't mean perfect. It means just above the bar. So you're growing yourself and you're allowing yourself time to think about how am I going to move even further from that moment. And so to your point, that's again like this principle based is in theory, that's kind of thing that you need to. And it's not if you don't tick the boxes, you are not going to pass. So I like this part of looking at it from a principle perspective. What are the things that we need to achieve in terms of ethical behavior, in the way we are coach behavior, in the way we simulate the relationship with the clients, and probably a lot more. But also in the comes to my mind another thing, and that is in the conversation in the work group for coaching supervision competencies, so core competence for coaching supervision from ICF, they're being now somehow finalized. We were debating heavily on should we include this, how should we formulate this, and so on. And at some point, also from the facilitators came in, yeah, this is just the first draft. Let's not get stuck in it has to be perfect. It's what we think at this moment. And I think that's a different way of looking at things in general, of that's where we are right now. Same with technology. That's where we are right now. Where will we be in 5 years? I don't know. And nobody has a crystal ball for the moment. Who knows? Maybe that's going to be developed in 5 years. But that moves you away from that precise fix, your point, fix mentality to a very growth one, well, one that you are fine with maybe some things not knowing and with some things that are, I'm working on it.
Just want to check, Christina, Joel, if we've got time for this last question from AI. So is that okay? Otherwise we can pause. Yeah, you're okay?
Yeah, I've got a few minutes, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, Christina, one last question. I looked on it and I went, this is such a good kind of concluding question around, just it brings it to you. The question is, when would you definitely use an AI coaching bot, and when will you not, and instead use a human? So what's the times and places where both work for you?
So I take it that this is from the perspective of what's the use case for each of them,
yeah,
as the idea in me.
Yeah.
So when would I put up at this moment? Immediately, I would say go engage with a chatbot because it's more cost efficient and there's more usage and any time of the day. Is if your question as a client, it's a lot around, I need to get 3 ideas. Or I need to very concrete to the topic, to the doing. And I think out there, we have so many chatbots that are incredibly good at that. I would say that, go do it 3 times, try 3 different coaches that are digital ones. And then you have to your specific topic, very good things. If you are like, I don't even know exactly what my topic is. And I'm like, there's something also around me that maybe I'm not feeling that well right now to discuss. Definitely talk to a human being.
I just want to name what you're doing with your body, Christine, because when you were talking about the AI, your hands were rigid and going up and down, and then your body was moving with the human, like it was rolling back and forth and side to side. So that in itself was an answer too, so I just wanted to bring that out. Wow, I'm so Wow, I didn't think we'd get here, but I really appreciate the conversation and the time, Christina. It's really rich. I feel like I need to go and have another reflection on it now. But thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too. I just want to really appreciate the passion I feel from you and the deep immersion in different theories and perspectives that you're bringing. I think that's incredible, because I think that's the level that we need to be approaching these kinds of topics and coaching itself, you know, to be influenced by a broad range of perspectives. So yeah, I've really enjoyed being with you, Christina.
I've definitely enjoyed being challenged also by this question of, I don't know what's coming, and I don't know where this conversation leads us, because you picked up different things, Karim, you've picked up different things, Joel, and that just by bringing them up challenges us to figure out what do we mean with them and what do we translate that into thoughts. And to your point also, how do we reflect upon them further is, what are those 2 seconds that we take away with us from this conversation that we want to do something about? So if that is something that I want to go read or look up or go find a resource or talk to another human being or to a chatbot, I think that's the part that I like. It's like, what would that be, small thing that gives you further after that? Thank you.
Well, one thing we didn't ask Christina is, like, do you want to direct us to, you know, a place where we can find out more about your work or some of the projects you've named today?
More than happy to say, you can always find a link on my LinkedIn profile where you can actually book a coffee meeting. I love those coffees, small coffees, where you don't know with who you're going to be talking and what the conversation will bring you. And I like those conversations that emerge also without a kind of like business purpose of, I need to meet somebody because, but those kind of conversations that get you thinking. So that's one space that I'm more than happy if anyone wants to just go and connect on LinkedIn and then have also a coffee chat. What I would encourage everyone to use, as, because I said it's a resource out there, we've put a lot of heart and soul in it. Coach IT, use it. It's free. Gives you a lot of feeling of technology. And besides that, in the ICF space, especially when it comes to ICF Germany, we have so many virtual education and things where we discuss and talk also about technology. More than happy to see people there because we're learning from each other. We don't know all of the answers yet.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training, The Neuroscience of Change. This program reveals the biology of change, showing us what happens in the brain and the body when different coaching techniques are used. You'll learn how to work with the innate pathways of change in all of us, so you can create powerful transformation with your clients. Just go to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by February the 7th. Here we are, we're at the end of the podcast. Just a heads up again, if you're not on our mailing list and you want to stay in the loop about other things we create, then head to coachesrising.com, put your name in the sign up box there. You'll also find some of our other offerings, our online trainings for coaches there. And just want to end by wishing you well, and I'll see you again next time.